You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 9th of July 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org. Good afternoon to you, Matt. How are you doing?
Despite getting a speeding ticket, I'm doing okay. And also despite it being 1,000 degrees outside and you are the only guy that makes me turn my air conditioning off. So, you know, but still, despite all that, I'm in a very good mood.
Excellent. Good man. Good man. I'm in a good mood as well because we've got the audio fixed. So you should be sounding to the listeners exactly how you normally sound rather than all tinny like you were last week. So I'm pleased with that too. Well, what have we got to talk about today? We are going to be talking about the Taliban being Russian puppets. Yes, that is the allegation that was made last week and that Donald Trump, the evil Donald Trump, has just completely ignored all of this. And it's been putting American troops at threat because there are bounties on their heads and Putin's been paying the Taliban to fight against America. That is the ludicrous allegations that have been made. Last weekend, the Times had three of its most senior journalists basically rewrite a CIA press release as part of its latest attempt to undermine President Donald Trump by playing the Russia card. The story claimed that Russia is paying Afghan militants to kill American soldiers and that Trump's team has known for months about this but done absolutely nothing. The US Director of National Intelligence quickly denied the allegations, as did the president himself. It surely wasn't coincidental that the drop took place in the same weekend that reports emerged of Trump planning to withdraw 4,000 troops from Afghanistan. If you know anything about Russia, the story is obviously false. The Americans are totally bogged down in Kabul, which suits Moscow in myriad ways. In fact, the Kremlin would be absolutely delighted if the US stayed there forever. What's more, the Taliban hardly needs a financial incentive to attack a hated occupying force. So why would Moscow need to be handing out bounties to encourage people who already have it in for Americans? Another interesting detail was the New York Times assertion that its allegations are based at least in part on the interrogations of captured Afghan militants and criminals. Given we know the United States uses torture in Afghanistan, that should be an immediate red flag to any self-respecting journalist. Not to mention the fact that even if Afghan prisoners did say this, it is likely no more than prison gossip. Abdul told Nadir that Hashem heard the Russians will pay you for killing an American. The Times trio even threw in a bit of casual xenophobia. I think we had forgotten how organically ruthless the Russians could be, they quoted Peter Zwack, a retired military intelligence officer, as saying. Imagine a report saying Asians, Africans, Mexicans or Jews are organically ruthless. That's right, you can't, because it wouldn't happen. But Russians, being predominantly white and Christian, are considered to be fair game. On the face of it, Matt, this is an absolutely ludicrous accusation that the Taliban are only fighting against America because Russians have put bounties on the heads of American soldiers. I mean, it's not really worth Trump even responding to this. Please don't tell me that Americans have actually fallen for this nonsense.
Well, the Democratic Party certainly has. Chuck Schumer is calling for investigations, of course. You know, Russiagate failed, so they need another one. You know, the New York Times sounds like my ex-wife. You know, the accusations are not only false, but they don't even make sense. And the Taliban's response to this has been to say that one of our points of pride is that, you know, we use captured weapons, we use homemade weapons, we use that against the Soviets. And it's really a way that the Americans can blame their yet another humiliating defeat on someone else. And this comes at a time when the U.S. has already surrendered in Afghanistan and pulling its troops back. This is pretty much the only way that the regime as a whole can try to keep Americans involved in Afghanistan. Now you have Democrats suddenly hawks on foreign policy, wanting to be harder on Afghanistan because of all of this. And so, yeah, Rachel Maddow, all these people have fallen for this. Most people who matter deny it. And the thing is, it doesn't make sense. It's like the gas attacks with Assad. He's doing this as he's winning. Something that would guarantee to provoke an American response. It's absurd. And yet it's almost like these people are trying to see how illogical they can get and still get people to believe them. And apparently the sky's the limit here. And I almost hesitated to do a show on this, but at least we could poke fun at them. There's no aspect of this story that makes any sense, and zero evidence.
What do you think part of it then is an excuse for why the Taliban have been so successful? You think it's sort of implied there that as well as putting bounties on these American soldiers' heads, Russia has been supplying them with weaponry? I mean, you pointed out there that the Taliban are very proud of the fact that they've used homemade weapons. Is that sort of what you think was being implied there, that the Russians have been supporting the Taliban and that's why America has failed to win this war over how many years has it been now? 20 years? It's got to be near 20 years it's been going on for. Is that what it is, you think? They're trying to save face?
Yeah, of course. I think that's exactly what it is. Possibly to prolong the war. And remember, this is a surrender. This is not a peace agreement. The U.S. swore that would never negotiate or talk to the Taliban, and yet the minute they realize they can't win, they go to them and they're looking for a peaceful way out. And the Taliban were very interested in having them save face and are still interested in good relations with the U.S. even once they pull out and the Taliban takes over the country. But you know, the U.S. military has been humiliated again. The U.S. needs a reason to justify this, how this huge over 20 years still can't win. And oh, by the way, you know, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan is banned in Russia. So, you know, they're still enemies. Russia has given weapons to the American-backed government in Kabul for some reason, but absolutely not to their enemies from years ago. This is ridiculous at so many levels. And yet the Democrats have fallen for it. Most media have fallen for it. But even Time magazine, after the first few paragraphs in the article suggesting that it's true, near the end, they start expressing doubts and start quoting people who say it isn't true. And like he says here, this may well have been something that they heard under torture. But even if that's true, they still would have mentioned his name. Not a single name has been mentioned, not a single document, not a single anything. And that's something that all these accusations against Trump seem to have in common.
Yeah, no sources for any of them. Well, let's have a look at Russia's response to this. Bombshell reports claiming Russia paid Afghan militants to kill US soldiers is fake news, targeting President Trump's team and its attempts to withdraw troops from the country, Russia's top Afghanistan-focused diplomat has said. It is clear that there are forces in the United States which do not want to withdraw from Afghanistan and want a justification for their own failures. That is what this is all about, Zamir Kabilov, Russia's presidential envoy to Afghanistan, told news agency RIA Novosti. We really shouldn't waste time commenting on an obvious lie, he added. The White House and the US Director of National Intelligence denied that Trump was ever briefed on such an allegation, and the president later said US intelligence found that claims of bounties were not credible and thus did not even bother reporting them up the chain of command. Russia said the report was a poorly conceived piece of disinformation that called into question the intellectual abilities of the US intelligence propagandists who invented it. Now, this, I think, is quite important, because what they're saying is that it was US intelligence propagandists who came out with this. So that would mean that it was the CIA. It was these agencies that are supposed to be working for Donald Trump. They're supposed to be working for the president. And yet the allegation is that they are the ones that put out this information. So do you think that's true, Matt? Or do you think this is something that's been cooked up by the mainstream media? What do you think?
Yeah, my first thought that this was simply invented by the New York Times, because the director of national intelligence denied this, and he's supposed to be able to speak for all the – that's the whole point of the DNI office, is to unify and to have one spokesman for all the different intelligence agencies, many of which really have no reason to exist anymore. The CIA has been at war with Trump from the very beginning. And they don't really explain how far this goes back, because it seems to be a fairly recent thing, as the U.S. has already signed the surrender documents and is pulling men out. Now, in April, the Taliban were upset that their surrender terms had been violated, that there were drone strikes on civilians, and that there's still 4,000 prisoners that the Afghan government refuses to release, even though that's actually some of the terms. So, and the Taliban have scaled down their attacks on the U.S. They've only attacked Afghan army for, you know, what passes for the Afghan army, only out in the countryside. They've not hit any cities. They've scaled back their operations quite a bit since then. And the U.S. has responded with drone strikes. But mostly their venom is against the Afghan government, which, of course, is 100% supported by the U.S., couldn't exist otherwise. So these surrender terms have already been in jeopardy. This is just one way to, you know, poison the entire thing and hopefully not only keep Americans in Afghanistan, keep this war going, but and then keep the drugs flowing, which I think is a big part of this, but also give the Democrats yet another stupid reason to attack Trump.
Well, I seem to recall reading that this peace deal that they had actually brokered, that it was brokered between the Taliban and America, and that the Afghan government hadn't actually even been included in it. And that's why they hadn't handed over these 4,000 Taliban soldiers, because they've got no intention of doing that. And this deal was done sort of behind their backs, and they were just expected to go along with it. Am I correct in thinking that?
Yeah, the Taliban has made it clear over and over again that they will not negotiate ever with that puppet government. So that was clear. But it is a puppet government. And it is true, it wasn't that long ago that the U.S. threatened to withhold aid unless they, you know, went along with the program. You know, their army is incompetent. They're beyond corrupt. They're the worst elements, the few oligarchs that Afghanistan has, many of them from abroad. The worst elements in the population are in that government. They have no real national support. The army is made up mostly of criminals and drug addicts. If you've seen the documentaries from the BBC on YouTube, they're almost criminally funny how incompetent they are. But the Taliban have said we will not deal with them ever. But they are a colonial government. They are a puppet government. And yet they're still refusing to hand over these men, among other things. But the Taliban said there will be no peace deal or no surrender, nothing like that, if this ridiculous government is involved. So that shows you just how desperate the Americans are, that they were willing even to piss their own puppet government off in order to surrender to the Taliban.
You know, something else that I wonder doesn't play into this. Russia had a peace summit with the Taliban back in February. There was a lot on RT at the time about the fact that the Taliban or representatives of the Taliban were in Russia with the hopes of being able to come to some kind of peace. And I'm wondering if because of that, that has also annoyed certain people in America, and that might be playing into this as well. Do you recall that, Matt, that the Taliban were over in Russia for some kind of peace talks back in February?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we talked about it. I don't remember if the Afghan government was involved there at all, because really no one in the world takes them seriously. Now, the Russians have given aid to them, just, you know, basic humanitarian stuff. So I don't remember if that was true at all. The Taliban either simply ignored them or they weren't there. The Taliban wouldn't have showed up if they were there. So again, that suggests a very desperate U.S. if they're willing to permit, you know, Russian mediation and to completely ignore the Kabul government in order to negotiate with the Taliban that just a few years ago they said they would never do. It really is a massive humiliation for the U.S. And something, the military does this all the time. For every one of its many defeats, it always needs to blame somebody else. You know, all these tough guys and all their claims of self-sufficiency and everything else, they always are blaming anyone but them. For a while, they were blaming Pakistan, that they were aiding the Taliban. That was the accusation for years. And this is why we can't win. Or it's rules of engagement. That's why we can't win. Or the politicians. That's why we can't win. And they're always blaming somebody else. But it was, you know, it was a stupid war for no good reason. And I think the only reason that the regime wants the U.S. to remain there is to keep the supply of drugs coming in through Albania and the Panski Gorge in Georgia. There really is no other profit for it other than that. Because once the Taliban take over, which they will do soon, that fatwa is still in effect. The drug spigot will be tightly sealed off.
Yes, because they put a stop to it, didn't they? Yeah, the Afghan government didn't have anything to do with the peace talks back in February, and it was because the Taliban were refusing to speak to America, so Russia had offered to broker this deal. And I don't know if that did actually end up playing any part in Trump's peace deal, but let's have a look at Trump's response to this anyway. The New York Times story alleging that Russia paid Afghan militants to kill US troops is probably just another phony Times hit job, just like their failed Russia hoax, US President Donald Trump said on Twitter. Everybody is denying it, and there have not been many attacks on us, he said. Nobody's been tougher on Russia than the Trump administration. With corrupt Joe Biden and Obama, Russia had a field day, taking over important parts of Ukraine. Where's Hunter? Probably just another phony Times hit job, just like their failed Russia hoax. Who is their source? So he makes lots of good points here, doesn't he? Bringing up corruption, Hunter Biden, who is their source, and the fact that there haven't actually been that many attacks on the American troops anyway. What do you make of Trump's response to this, Matt?
Well, you know, he's right, saying that, you know, no one's been tougher on Russia, but I thought that he was Putin's puppet. You have Democrats still saying this today. And yet his policy has been far harsher on Russia in terms of sanctions, in terms of military action, military threats. There's more troops going into Poland, coming from Afghanistan, directly aimed at Russia. And yet he's supposed to be a Putin stooge. And these guys, they can't even connect those dots. And the reason I think it's the New York Times is that you think the CIA would come up with something better than this. That if they were going to invent a story, they would at least have a story that made some kind of sense. Not all of a sudden paying Taliban soldiers to kill Americans as the U.S. is pulling out. It doesn't make any sense. And I think the U.S. the CIA would do a better job than that. And the CIA is actually one of the few institutions – again, they won't go on record – one of the few institutions that actually accept this story to some extent. But we all know that they're very politicized, and it's a humiliation not only for the U.S. but for the CIA too.
Well, the CIA shouldn't be accepting it because the White House and U.S. Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, has denied any briefing took place. The U.S. Director of National Intelligence has distanced himself from a New York Times report claiming Russia paid money to the Taliban for killing U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. He said the White House was never even briefed on the matter. This is what he said on Twitter. The White House statement addressing this issue earlier today, which denied such a briefing occurred, was accurate. The New York Times reporting and all other subsequent news reports about such an alleged briefing are inaccurate. And that comes from the Office of the DNI, June 28, 2020. The dynamic between the US mainstream media and the Trump administration in this case follows the same pattern seen in a previous bombshell report accusing the president of inaction in the face of a foreign threat. In April, ABC News claimed Trump had been briefed about a military intelligence report which warned that a catastrophic outbreak of a viral disease was emerging from China. the National Center for Medical Intelligence, the service which allegedly produced the report on what is now known as the COVID-19 pandemic, denied ever writing such a document. So ABC News have been up to this as well, claiming that things have happened, which there's no evidence for. The institutions concerned say that there is no evidence for. And now we have the New York Times doing it and having a go at Russia for this. At least the Director of National Intelligence is standing up for Trump here and denying it. So you would think that nothing else would be said about it. But no, they're still going on about it. What do you make of this answer from John Ratcliffe here, Matt?
Remember, he's not necessarily pro-Trump. This office was created after 9/11 to unify all the intelligence agencies in one office. So in a way, he does speak for the CIA. What motivation, as hard as Trump has been on Russia, what motivation would Trump have for inaction if he actually heard this and believed it was credible? The sanctions on Russia have never been harder, and same thing for China. The military buildup has never been greater. This is, it contradicts itself on so many levels. I've never heard of the National Center for Medical Intelligence before, but I do vaguely remember this claim, you know, and I really fear for November that if he gets reelected, what's the media going to do then? If they're willing to do this now, what are they going to do if they're beaten and have to go through four more years? I don't know if Trump's going to make four more years. His ability to govern has been so truncated by the constant attacks and crazy accusations, which are immediately taken as true. And these are, you know, even though we disagree with them, they're normally intelligent people accepting this ridiculous idea. I guess the difference here is that this is actually a story. The Russiagate has never even been explained in detail what exactly happened. At least here, there's actually a story behind it. It's nonsensical. And no matter who you ask, most people deny it, or you get these very vague accusations from anonymous sources. And if it doesn't come from the CIA, I'm sorry, if it doesn't come from the New York Times, it may have come from, you know, tortured Taliban prisoners. And to mention that this comes from Taliban prisoners is a ridiculous thing to begin with, because that's where our minds are going to go, because we know what the U.S. does with these prisoners. It doesn't make any sense if Trump is so pro-Putin that this would be – or if Putin is so pro-Trump that he would do this, that he would do something to humiliate allegedly his man in Washington. No one's been harder on Russia than Trump.
It's just like there's loads of smoke to get in your eyes and distract you, but there's never any actual fire that's making the smoke. Well, let's have a look at what the Trump derangement patients have been saying. On the flip side, all the MOOC resistance pundits have been speaking of this baseless allegation as a horrific event that is known to have happened, with Rachel Maddow going so far as to describe it as Putin offering bounties for the scalps of American soldiers in Afghanistan. This is an interesting choice of words, considering that offering bounties for scalps is, in fact, one of the many horrific things the US government did in furthering its colonialist ambitions, which, unlike the New York Times allegation, is known to have actually happened. It is true, as many have been pointing out, that it would be fair play for Russia to fund violent opposition to the US in Afghanistan, seeing as that is exactly what the US and its allies have been doing to Russia and its allies in Syria, and also to the Soviets in Afghanistan via Operation Cyclone. It is also true that the US military has no business in Afghanistan anyway, and any violence inflicted on US troops abroad is the fault of the military expansionists who put them there. The US military has no place outside its own easily defendable borders, and the assumption that it is normal for a government to circle the planet with military bases is a faulty premise. Matt, what are your comments on this? What should we be taking away from this?
Well, this is why the US has a military budget greater than the top 10 international military budgets combined, and still have disastrous equipment failure and failure everywhere and overstretch and everything else. And with Rachel Maddow, you can expect it because she doesn't really know anything. But I should mention that they mentioned Operation Cyclone, which was the arming of some of the Islamic fighters in Afghanistan during the Soviet occupation, opposing the so-called Democratic Republic of Afghanistan. And the odd thing is that the U.S. insisted on backing the more extreme or militant Islamic groups, one of whom was Muhammad Zia-ul-Haq in Pakistan, not less radical groups. So the U.S. were building up some of the most radical Islamic groups in Afghanistan back then. And it was the longest, I think, the most expensive CIA operation in its history. God, you got $630 million in 1987. And then, of course, after the Soviets withdrew, they continued to fight Najibullah's forces in the Afghan Civil War, which ended with his execution in 1992. So, you know, I know this story is false, but even if it's true, Russians would be certainly within their rights to do this. But for better or for worse, the Putin administration has no connection with the Taliban. That organization is illegal in Russia, would be considered extremist and violent in Russia. But now they're supposed to be backing them with money. But I think the most absurd part of it all is that the implication is that the Taliban don't have enough incentive to attack Americans anyway. But the truth of the matter is that since the surrender deal has been signed, the Taliban have scaled back their attacks. But this is Johnson's law. You know, people don't know that. You know, so this is disastrous. This is probably the single most ridiculous lie that the press or the CIA have invented since Trump came into office. And that's saying a lot.
Oh, it's a case of projection again, isn't it? You know, you point out about this Operation Cyclone there, where America was funding the jihadis in Afghanistan to fight against the Soviets. And what we've got here is an allegation that Russia has been funding the Taliban to fight against the American troops. So even if it was true, you know, it would only be basically what America has been doing. But it's just so ridiculous on the face of it. Well, let's have a look at what one of your favorite analyst has to say about it, Paul Craig Roberts. He says the claim itself is so absurd that it indicates the media regard Americans as completely stupid. The US and Taliban have been killing each other since October 2001, when the Cheney Bush regime illegally attacked Afghanistan. For 19 years, the Taliban has known who its enemy is, and it does not need Russian bribes to kill United States occupiers. To me, it is extraordinary that the New York Times and the proprietor of Bloomberg News are so devoid of integrity that they would make up out of thin air false allegations for the sole purpose of convincing Americans that their president is a Russian agent, more concerned with getting along with Putin than protecting US soldiers. This latest lie from the New York Times and Bloomberg is an effort to resurrect the Russiagate hoax. Here is what happened. Some Democrat or anti-Trump member of the military security complex planted a lie at the New York Times. The New York Times knew it was a lie, did not investigate, and quickly published the lie, for which the New York Times had no evidence. Indeed, it is possible that the New York Times simply made up the story itself. Once the lie is published, the rest of the prostitutes, such as Bloomberg, quickly spread the lie. Democrat and even Republican politicians then start agitating for explanations and investigations of why Trump took no action against Russia. The Department of Defense issues a statement that there is no corroborating evidence to support the New York Times fake news, but the Democrats, prostitutes, and liberal pundits dismiss the DOD statement as covering up for President Trump. Once again, an obvious lie is being turned into a proven fact. The New York Times is supposed to be a newspaper, the paper of record, and Bloomberg is supposed to be a news service. But both are propagandists dispensing lies in order to help the American establishment get rid of Trump, who represents the working class. In American politics, representing the working class is no longer permissible. The liberals, the progressives, and the left are the actual forces aligned against America. They are far more dangerous to ordinary Americans than are North Korea, Iran, China, and Russia. They are dangerous to all races that comprise the US Tower of Babel, because they are bringing America down into a spasm of disinformation and hate. I think that's a pretty good summary there, Matt. What's your final summary of what's going on here?
Well, this is why Paul Craig Roberts is probably my favorite analyst out there. The fact that he was the assistant secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan gives him and a PhD in economics gives him a tremendous amount of authority. He knows the regime from the inside. But this is the stupidest story that the media have ever pushed. Remember, journalists have absolutely no obligation to tell the truth. They have no obligation to educate you. They're not experts in political science or history or economics or anything else. Their job is to find a story, to tell a narrative that will get readers fixed onto the publication. And of course, I think the ultimate purpose is to push liberal opinion to become far more interested in intervention. And I know Joe Biden, when he's coherent, now campaigning that he needs to be tougher on China and especially Russia. And he would be tougher on Russia than Trump would be. But Bernie Sanders back in the 70s said the CIA should be abolished. He doesn't say that anymore. But I mean, they're partisan, they're incompetent, they are corrupt. I mean, we could go on and on. The CIA were saying that the Soviet economy was healthy in 1990. The torture scandal alone, Russiagate, their overthrow of the Ukrainian government, their role in the impeachment, their lies about Iran, Afghanistan. This entity has to go. Back in 2017, Foreign Affairs published an article, and the two authors were Christopher Moran and Richard Aldrich, and they acknowledged that during the election campaign, this is a quote, many senior officials publicly threw their weight behind Hillary Clinton. Again, this was a reference to the former CIA officers, Michael Morell, Hayden, and Phil Mudd denouncing Trump. Plus, CIA operations officer Evan McMullen ran against him as an independent, if you remember. He didn't get very far, but they ran him as an independent candidate against Trump. There's simply no accountability for this organization. In fact, I can't think of many cases where the CIA comes up with any actual information that's vital to protecting the country. They're simply a politicized group with a huge budget. We don't even know how big that budget is. And right now they're using it to attack Trump and coming up with stupid stories. That organization has got to go.
Yeah, just two that I can think up is the accusations of the weapons of mass destruction, which led to the war in Iraq, and then also the covering up for Hillary Clinton when she should have been arrested recently. Well, thank you very much for that, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.